And welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the consequences of change and how today's choices impact tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and a production of Action for Healthy Communities and is provided in collaboration with KCBX. It is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gillard Sargent. Today's host, Chris Kington Barker, will be speaking on Zoom with guests from American Indian Health and Services, one of 41 nonprofit urban Indian health organizations nationwide seeking to provide culturally competent care to meet the needs of the urban Indian communities they serve. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today, and you can call in your questions to be part of the discussion at 805-549-8855 or email them to voices@kcbx.org. Now let's join Chris and her guests.
Thank you, Brad. For over 20 years, the American Indian Health and Services has been committed to promoting and providing quality services to improve the health and well-being of American Indians and Alaska Natives and all other community members in Santa Barbara. My guest for today's show will share how the Community Health Center provides culturally grounded and trauma-informed programs and services for the American Indian and Alaska Native community in response to the unique and identified needs that have been identified. Joining me today are Ms. Jessica Foster, she, her, hers, Nohomish Tribe of Indians, Lummi Haida, American Indian Health and Services Community Wellness Department Manager, and Dr. Williams, she, her, hers, Bitterwater Clan of the Navajo Nation, American Indian Health and Services, Licensed Clinical Psychologist and Behavioral Health Department. And welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
You know,
Great to be here.
Thank you. You know, preparing for the show, it was really interesting to have information coming to me about the AIHS. It's not a program that I was really very familiar with. And maybe you can share a little bit, Ms. Jessica, about the center, who you're serving, where you're located, and what you do.
Yes, thank you so much for the great introductions. We're so excited and happy to be here and honored to be speaking about American Indian Health and Services, or what we call AIHS for short. And you've really gave a great introduction. Sometimes we joke and say we're a well-kept secret just because we do hear frequently from folks that, hey, we didn't know you were here. So we're really excited to talk about all the awesome programs and services we offer today. So AIHS is located in Santa Barbara, California. We're just at the very end of State Street here in Santa Barbara, and we serve the entire community. So we serve both the Native or American Indian Alaska Native community, as well as non-Native community. We're one of 41 nationally designated urban Indian health organizations, or health centers as they're called. So we are partnered with the federal government to provide culturally competent care through clinical services and community programs to our American Indian Alaska Native community. And so, as I mentioned, we're one of 41 all across the nation. And we also are serving non-Native community through our HRSA Section 330 program. So what that means is we also are providing low or no cost services to the entire community as well. So anyone who's needing care, it could be eligible to receive services here. And so what do we offer? We have a medical department that includes pediatric care. We have two dental clinics. One here in Santa Barbara. We have one in Carpinteria, which is just a couple miles down the road. We also have a behavioral health department, which Dr. Williams will speak more to the programs and services we offer, and our community wellness department, which is the department that I manage and have a really great team that offers really powerful, culturally grounded programs and services. And we mostly focus on the Native community. And so that's what we're looking to talk about and speak to today is, you know, our culturally grounded programs and services that serve our Native community. But we do like to make it known that we do serve the entire community.
Yeah, when you're talking about the native community too, can you talk a little bit about how large a population you're speaking to and for?
Yes, I appreciate that question. It's as a Native woman myself, I am often surprised by how many people are unaware of the continued presence of American Indian, Alaska Natives, Native people, Indigenous peoples, however you choose to self-identify, that are living in the Central Coast.
Yeah.
And so in Santa Barbara County, there's just over 10,000. Exact number is 10,151 people who self-identify as American Indian, Alaska Native. And in Ventura County, which is the other county in which we serve both Santa Barbara and Ventura counties, there's almost 17,500. So combined, we're at 27,500 individuals across the two counties we serve. So it's a very large,
Yeah.
active population. And a lot of people are surprised to hear that. Yeah, that's a little bit more just about the community that we're serving.
Yeah, thank you. And Dr. Williams, when we talk about programs and sensitivity to trauma-informed care, can you talk a little bit about why that is so important? How it's important, and then if you could talk more about what trauma-informed care means.
Certainly, thank you. I'm so happy to be here and to be able to, speak as a licensed psychologist and also as a Native woman who has lived and worked within our Native population here locally. And I'm so excited to speak on trauma-informed care because it is a topic that is so impactful of our local Native community. At the clinic, we practice from a trauma-informed approach. And a lot of people wonder, what is trauma-informed approach? And really, there's five principles to any type of trauma-informed service. And that is safety, choice, collaboration, trustworthiness, and empowerment. So in all of our programs and services, whether that's in our community wellness department or in behavioral health, we're focused as providers to really empower our patients through their sense of control and choice and self-determination through a shared decision-making process where there is clear, consistent interpersonal boundaries. So ensuring that their physical and emotional safety within all of the relationships they have with us as service providers, is first and foremost really necessary, for the effectiveness of any type of intervention we provide. And, the last principle of trauma-informed services of empowerment is really on helping our clients, patients, community members with specific skill building so that they can build their self-esteem and feel empowered within all of their relationships in the community and feel more empowered in their functioning, whether that's at home or at school or in the community. And within our clinic, specific to the American Indian population, there are unique traumas that our clients, our patients, our community members have experienced as members of the Native American population. And we practice from a approach that honors kind of this concept of historical trauma. So there's been a lot of research on historical trauma within Indigenous communities, and I'm going to define historical trauma. It's defined as the cumulative emotional harm an individual experiences that results from traumatic events, such as in the Indigenous community, that's forced assimilation, genocide, relocation, and forced containment. And historical trauma also occurs through one's identifications within the historical experiences of family and community. So historical trauma is very present within our local community where there is a generational history of trauma that has been passed down. And through our community work, we have engaged community over the past few years, community leaders, community youth, elders, through various settings. How has historical trauma impacted you? Or how do you see it as impacting your life? What do you feel about historical trauma? And what we've heard from community is that there are a lot of challenges due to historical trauma. And they've kind of further defined it as, how does this cumulative psychological, emotional harm impact them? What is the ongoing impact of this legacy within your specific tribe? And I do want to briefly touch on the diversity of tribal nations locally. There is a rich diversity of tribal nations. So as a clinic, we serve multiple tribes and bands. And so the experience of historical trauma is very different depending on where your tribal origin is. So to summarize some of these community conversations, members of the American Indian community have said that historical trauma has impacted them through challenges like isolation, grief, grief over the loss of cultural traditions and spiritual practices that have been lost through generations. Another element of historical trauma is mistrust of others and institutions. So difficulty within relationships or trusting authority figures or institutions that provide services to Indigenous people based on a history of trauma within those institutions. And lastly, mental health challenges and substance use disorders. So as a clinician in behavioral health, I'm one of many clinicians. We have LCSWs, we have a substance abuse counselor, we have social workers and care coordinators, and we all practice clinically from this trauma-informed approach, really understanding historical trauma of our Native patients, what their experiences might have been with service providers in the past that might not have honored their cultural practices or unique needs as an American Indian individual, and really trying to build safety and trust and really treat them and honoring them as a cultural and spiritual being with unique needs as a member of the American Indian population.
You know, thank you for that, Dr. Williams. And the, you know, when you're speaking about trauma-informed care, it sounds as though everything within your organization comes from that platform. Every interaction, everything is done from a place of an assumption that that could very much be a part of what is happening for an individual, and you're not waiting for that to show up. You're just really responding to it right away. Is that accurate?
Definitely. Okay. Yes, that's accurate. Definitely. We, as a integrated health clinic, behavioral health works very closely with our medical department, our dental department. We have care coordinators and case managers that really serve patients across departments. And I'm just always continually impressed with the amount of training that all of our staff receive in historical trauma and honoring the unique, diverse needs of our American Indian patients, and really also not only training them in awareness, but also skill building in how can we really serve our Native patients in a way that optimizes safety, relationship building, setting healthy expectations, and really having clear communication, and also really being there for them as a patient-centered medical home for all of their needs.
Yeah, and the idea of empowerment and being a collaborator with individuals and seeking their own wellness really is important, it sounds like, too, rather than being the professional that's going to fix it.
Definitely. And what we have found as service providers, and also through, you know, asking our patients and community members, what are you looking for in a service provider? What are the safety needs in order to even either access services or continue with services? So in all of our surveys and data collection, cultural competence of providers is rated really, really high. So needing to have providers that really understand their unique cultural needs, that is one of the top barriers of seeking treatment or continuing with treatment. So I'm really just thankful to be with our organization in terms of their training and awareness of cultural competence as a key need to serving our Native patients.
Yeah, excellent. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you on Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. The voices you hear with me today are Ms. Jessica Foster. She is with the AIHS Community Wellness Department Manager, and Dr. Williams. She is with AIHS also, a licensed clinical psychologist in the Behavioral Health Department. If you have any questions for today's guests or comments, and certainly if you've received services and you want to share what your experience has been as the services through AIHS, if you would like to share that, you can call us at 805-549-8855 or email us at voices@kcbx.org. Ms. Jessica, you know, there's always the concern about disparities in healthcare and disparities of some groups over other groups, even though there are disparities in a number of different populations. Can you talk a little bit about the disparities of this, of the American Indian and the Alaskan Native populations?
Sure. You know, recently our community wellness team, in partnership with our behavioral health team, published a report called the Community Wellness Report. And we know that it will be made accessible on the website archive and also on KCBX Facebook page as well. So we have lots of information collected from primary and secondary data sources talking about these health disparities of our Native population in comparison to non-Natives. And we know that the prevalence of health disparities is also very closely tied and connected to this context of historical trauma and how it moves across generations. And so I really just want to encourage people to look more into that in our community wellness report. I think oftentimes in our communities, especially in the public health, community health circle, when we're talking about American Indian Alaska Natives, we spend a lot of time talking about health disparities. And we spend a lot of time talking about the harms that our communities have experienced and how it affects them, which is really, really important. And equally as important is also discussing, you know, the needs and how we're going to respond to that, and also what our community strengths are, and how that makes us really resilient as Native peoples. And as part of the trauma-informed care practices and trauma-informed approaches that we utilize in our programs is recognizing those strengths and saying that our community knows what they need. Our community knows. And our traditions, our cultural practices have the answers to our healing pathways and moving forward. So today we're really excited to focus a lot on what those strengths are in our community and some of the programs and services that we've implemented to help build on those. And you know, just in response to some of those health disparities that Dr. Johnny Williams spoke towards, you know, as they show up in terms of mental health, prevalence rates of suicide, also substance use. It really speaks to our community's needs. And in looking at our vision statement for AIHS, I think what's really unique about the ways in which we approach our health integration, working within different teams, is also the ways in which we approach what health and wellness means. And looking at it from a very holistic perspective, and culture is very important to that whole entire picture. So our vision statement at AIHS is that we envision a vibrant community where American Indians, Alaska Natives, and the whole community are nurtured. And the values include a balance of care for the mind, body, and spirit. We envision a community health care center providing the care, education, and resources enabling clients to sustain a lifetime of health and wellness. I wanted to share that because I think that's really important in giving that larger picture, as Dr. Johnny Williams is speaking to, about the importance of empowerment and recognizing the strengths of our community that we serve, and looking how to empower people to be in charge of their own health and wellness moving forward.
Can you talk about some of the programs that you are offering, and maybe share how they wind in the various aspects that you were just addressing?
Yes, this is one of my favorite topics to speak about. You know, in my role, again, I'm the community wellness manager here at American Indian Health and Services, and we have a really stellar team, our community wellness team. We call ourselves the Wellness Warriors and really carry that in the way in which we approach community and work with community. And so our community wellness team, or our community wellness department, is actually the youngest department at AIHS. We were established in 2018. So we're pretty fresh on the scene at AIHS, who's been a really long-standing organization in the Central Coast and serving the healthcare needs of Native Americans and also the entire community. So a lot of folks are new to learning about us, so I'm really excited to speak about it. And so the mission of our community wellness is to support that holistic well-being we were speaking to of our community through culturally grounded programs and activities. So what does that mean? In setting our vision, we, you know, honoring that our community knows what they need, and they also know what their strengths are and how to find solutions and moving forward to address the needs in response to those health disparities. So we asked our community, if we're going to be offering programs that support your wellness, we need to define what that means. What is wellness? What are we moving towards? And so we actually brought together a really diverse council of community members, both elders, young adults, youth, to help us discuss this as we're planning to implement and develop programs for community wellness. And so our community defined wellness as the presence of wholeness and balance of the body, mind, and spirit that nurtures both the individual and the community and promotes pathways to recovering and healing from the effects of trauma. So that really set forward our goal and what we want to accomplish in community wellness, which is creating that sense of belonging for our community, focusing on our American Indian Alaska Native patients and community members, and all are welcome. So even if you aren't Native, you're welcome to come to our community wellness programs. And these trauma-informed approaches really can benefit even our non-Native patients. And we serve a very diverse community of patients, even those who aren't Native. So taking these trauma-informed and culturally grounded approaches really benefits everybody. And so some of those programs that we offer include traditional arts. So we have beading circles. We have a team of really skilled individuals who bring a diverse range of cultural backgrounds and heritages and traditional practices that have been passed down from generations or newly learned in their lifetime. And so In our traditional arts programs, we do beading circles. We do regalia workshops, helping people to build up their cultural regalia for dance, for powwow, for ceremony. It's really important for our peoples to be able to represent themselves in a way that they feel in touch with their ancestors and with their traditions. We also do traditional pigment painting workshops and weaving circles, basketry. We have traditional foods programs. We know that there are health disparities in terms of the prevalence rates of diabetes and other diseases or chronic conditions that can be prevented or managed through lifestyle. And we really encourage people to incorporate traditional practices of health and well-being into that lifestyle. So one of those is traditional foods and traditional movement. What are the ways in which that our ancestors ate and moved that we know that since time immemorial kept them strong, healthy, and resilient? So we do traditional foods workshops where we make foods from native ingredients that we know are really healthy and nurturing. We also have a community garden program. So we'll teach people how do you grow these foods and cultural plants at home, whether you have a backyard, which in Santa Barbara is hard to come by, or you maybe have a patio garden, or if you don't have space, come to our community garden and you can garden with us. And we know that's really healing sometimes for people just to even just be sitting out in the garden and having that community time. We do community gatherings. We have seasonal socials where we encourage people to get together. We'll hold circles for people to talk. We do community outreach events, going out into our community and letting people know about what our programs are, and also bringing some of these activities out into community. So if we're at a community event, sometimes we'll bring basketry materials and say, hey, come sit with us, learn how to weave. We'll tell you about our programs and what we do. We also do training and workshops as well. So touching on these issues of historical and intergenerational trauma, developing skills, talking about wellness promotion and disease prevention, helping our youth in developing skills for leadership and advocacy. We do a lot of family-centered programs as well. So having cultural arts nights where we feed folks, get us together, work on different projects. We'll do family outings like ice skating or bowling that are completely free and a really great space for families to come together in really positive, safe environments. And we also do youth programs as well. So I know we'll talk more about that with Dr. Williams about the impact of our youth programs.
I have a lot more questions for you, and there's a lot more that we're going to hear about. We're going to take a brief break and turn it back over to Brad for station identification. Over to you, Brad.
It's listener-supported public radio KCBX. From our community calendar, UC Santa Barbara Arts and Lectures is presenting a screening of We Are the Dream, the kids of the Oakland MLK Historical Fest. This documentary follows students from across the country as they present speeches on topics of racial justice, immigration, and more. The film will be shown at the West Winds Drive-In Theater in Goleta on May 12th. For tickets and to learn more, visit artsandlectures.ucsb.edu.
The Road Home is a weekly radio show of music rooted in American tradition, and that's a tradition built on musical influences from all over the world. I'm Marisa Waddell. Tune in every Thursday night for The Road Home, Americana music, its roots, and its branches, with plenty of new releases and lots of favorites, too. That's Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8, right after All Things Considered, for any time on demand at kcbx.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, part 2 of The Wrongful Conviction of Joseph Webster. We'll follow Joseph as he takes on the fight of his life, and we look at the long-term effects of wrongful convictions.
We feel good. We're downtown right now, getting ready to have my daddy released.
That's this week on Latino USA.
Thank you for joining us today on KCBX. This afternoon, you can hear Latino USA coming up at 2 o'clock, followed by Fresh Air at 3 and then Marketplace at 4. Right now, Central Coast Voices continues with Chris Kington Barker and her guests here on KCBX. Over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Brad. And if you just joined us, this show is recorded and will be available on demand at kcbx.org. The guests that you hear with me today are Ms. Jessica Foster. She is with the AI. The American Indian Health and Services, AIHS, Community Wellness Department Manager, and Dr. Johnny Williams. She is also with AIHS and is a licensed clinical psychologist in behavioral health. Our topic is the American Indian Health Services being provided locally and how the Community Health Center provides culturally grounded and trauma-informed programs and services. And we were just talking before we switched, Ms. Jessica, about the different wonderful sounding. I was all ready to sign up and do a phone call because they sound absolutely delightful. But I know you probably have some more to say about that. So I want to give it back over to you.
Thank you so much, Chris. So in community wellness, we were speaking about the different programs that we offer, and we're very lucky to be able to partner with our behavioral health team, and grateful to have Dr. Johnny Williams here today, who really is an expert in the field. And we work very closely together as our community wellness programs are really seeking to create that sense of safety and belonging for our community to come together. And, those goals there are including connecting cultural practices to health and wellness or health and well-being. So not just teaching people about, healthy living and lifestyles, but also how can we connect and intertwine or weave in our cultural traditions that support and bolster that sense of health and well-being, and fostering that sense of cultural connection, helping people to strengthen their cultural identity. As an urban Indian health center, there's a lot of diversity, as Dr. Johnny Williams was speaking to, about the different identities in terms of how people identify. So a wide range of heritages and tribal affiliations, and also a wide range of ways in which people identify with their culture. Maybe they grew up really strongly in practicing their traditions. They know their language. They sing their songs. They practice their life ways. And maybe some others have that, but because of the impacts of historical trauma, they maybe don't know as much about their culture or coming to it later in life. And that's okay. Everyone is welcomed. And really, it's meant to be a safe space to come together and engage in those conversations and heal from the effects that are ongoing from historical trauma, and replace that with conversations of how we can promote intergenerational and historical resiliency and strengths and go back to our traditions and have that pride for our cultures that sustain us and keep us well. And also building and strengthening relationships and community, acknowledging that is a traditional practice and having really strong community relationships. And we know that that is a protective factor, and we really want to build and strengthen those relationships. And all of that works together in, what we call the field of prevention, which, is just supporting that prevention of mental, emotional, behavioral health challenges that may come up. And speaking to those health disparities around issues of mental health, substance use. Thinking about how all of these things that keep us healthy and well are also preventing future health disparities from occurring. And so one of our keystone community wellness programs is really our youth programs and activities. Mm-hmm. The youth and families are really at the center of everything that we do in community wellness. And we have such inspiring youth who amaze me and teach me things every day. We have a monthly youth council where youth can come together and identify issues in their community that they want to work on. They want to see change. We'll help support them in building leadership skills to do so, to be advocates. connect them with elders and those who maybe are wisdom or culture keepers to help support them in their journey. And we have an annual program that's called a GONA, or a Gathering of Native Americans. And in our GONA, it's really important to create that safe space for our youth. And that's really our time to do so and really focus on meeting the needs of our youth. So I'd like to toss it over to Dr. Williams to speak more about that too.
Definitely. Thank you so much. So in 2019, we did our first youth GONA. It's a Gathering of Native Americans. And we invited youth from Santa Barbara and Ventura counties, ages 12 to 17, to participate in a four-day youth-focused community clinical intervention. To support our youth, we had transitional age youth, ages 18 to 24, that helped as a mentor role for our younger youth. We also had adult volunteers and elders who were a part of the four-day curriculum. So what was so great and exciting about this four-day gathering is that the Community Wellness Department and Behavioral Health teamed together to provide this community clinical intervention. So we had clinicians and substance use counselors co-facilitate circles and be there to support you through any of their needs that might have come up, direct them to clinical services for themselves or their families. And we found that through building the relationships with youth and their families during this four-day gathering, that we had great success in navigating that referral to treatment following our gathering. One of the goals of our GONA, Gathering of Native Americans, was to create new experiences of healing for youth within peer mentorship, elder mentorship, and really practicing healthy boundary, healthy communication skills, and social skills to really build their self-esteem. So I'd like to share a quote that one of our youth stated after the GONA. A youth said, I quote, "Connecting to those resources, finding those activities, finding your way is a really long and difficult thing to do. It's a process of trying new things and engaging in different activities. Introducing yourself to new people and exposing yourself to new people and defining which are important to you. So you need more opportunities to be exposed to different spiritual ideas that could give meaning to your life." And I share that quote.
Indeed.
Yes. I share that quote because it identifies what we're trying to do in our GONA, which is really build upon the cultural values and needs, spiritual needs and cultural resiliency, while also providing new healing experiences with youth and their elders, and building new experiences across generations. I also wanted to add that a core component of our GONA is to address impacts of historical trauma and also issues of mental health, substance use, and suicide that might be happening within a youth's family or community. So we're creating this safe place, a safe container where we have peer mentors, elders, we have clinical staff, and we're engaging youth in discussions about mental health issues, substance use, and suicide. And what we found that youth really have a lot to say.
Yeah.
They really have a lot to say on what their needs are and also what the solutions are. So this four-day gathering is really meant to empower the youth to really grapple issues that impact their day-to-day emotional health and well-being, and to really provide a supportive space where they can talk about
these issues that are on their heart, on their minds, and also really learn skill building and to overcome some of these issues. So I wanted to also share another quote that a youth mentioned on this. So one youth said that after Gona, because one of our questions after this experience is, okay, how can we kind of, we call it the Gona glow. Because on the fourth day, everyone's feeling the Gona glow. The youth are feeling it, the elders, the staff, we're all glowing through having this four-day intensive community workshop on really kind of marinating in issues that are really on our hearts and minds and coming together and building some community solutions. And one of the youth were saying, you know, after this experience, I want to take charge of my wellness. So a lot of youth said, my goals for my own wellness is practicing my native traditions, like the fire circle and storytelling. It really motivated me to learn my native tradition and culture. I want to take more charge into learning the language of my people, my tribe, and our history, our stories. I want to talk to my elders, learn from them. And I also want to be a mentor for people who are lost and to guide them. So I wanted to share that quote from a young person just after attending one of our Gonas. And that just kind of gives you a little insight into this activity, this program that we put on. So we have this every year. Our first one was in 2019. We had it at El Capitanian Canyon. And last year, 2020, it was a four-day virtual. This July, we're having another four-day virtual. And a lot of our feedback and assessment has shown that you know, adapting it to this virtual space is obviously a lot different to an in-person experience, but we've been very successful in adapting through breakout rooms and different circles on how to kind of recreate these healing opportunities virtually. So that is what we are working on in community wellness and are also preparing for this upcoming July.
That sounds fantastic. I have a couple of questions. With how many youth attended the last Gona or the first Gona?
It's a great question. So in our first Gona, we served about 25 youth. In total, I think we had close to 60 people coming together to make it happen. So the Gona, as Dr. William mentioned, you know, is for our American Indian Alaska Native youth who are residents of Santa Barbara or Ventura counties, and they're ages 12 to 17. And what's really unique about Gona is it also provides opportunities for younger adults, 18 to 25, to also participate in leadership roles. And supporting them are what we call clan elders. And so those are our traditional elders, our wisdom keepers, our knowledge keepers in community. You know, the aunties who are taking care of youth who also participate. So it is for our youth, and it really is a whole community program that comes together. So all in all, we have about roughly 35 to 40 community members, and then a good chunk of staff who are coming together to make it happen.
With the discussion that you talked about, Dr. Williams, about suicide, about some of the challenges that the youth have that aren't unique to the youth, but perhaps were also commonly shared with some of the elders. What was the impact of having the youth being able to speak out loud about those things on the elders? Did you see an impact from that?
Definitely. We had so much elder support, and we really, in our programming and planning, wanted to have a a gender balance in the amount of elders, male and female, so that youth could have that space to connect to elders and really kind of build an extended family through that way. We also had many members non-binary and two-spirit gender identity as well. So supporting all kind of gender norms, traditional gender norms of just ways of being in community that honors all gender representations. So we found that connection to be particularly also powerful with the youth and the elders, and also with our agreements that we made. So the first day is all about how can we be safe together in our gender expression, in connecting with each other and learning from each other. And that really set a great foundation to really dive into topics of suicide, their experience of having mental health issues in their family or extended family, how it has impacted them. And it was just so remarkable to see how through a supportive environment, youth and elders can come together and discuss topics, and then have, you know, we built in a transition period where we have a movement or exercise, and then we could like run it out, you know, or we have a fire ceremony where we kind of let go of what we are holding on to, and and then be able to have humor and storytelling and movement and just fun, and really learning how to have fun in a safe place.
Yeah.
And some of the youth and elders commented that this is one of the first times they've had this experience without, say, alcohol involved.
Right.
Or some sort or some sort of outburst or anger outburst. So really providing, you know, an experience of healing where there's, you know, safety and boundaries, and also where elders felt really strong in their roles of mentorship, and really taking out kind of the fear of what bad things might happen when we discuss or have intense conversations, that we built into the curriculum that these are some of the skills to let it go. So we did a ropes course, we did swimming, we did a beach day where we did like a running stick race where you run and hold your breath and scream as loud as you can, and whoever can go the farthest you know, wins. And we connected with the ocean energy and the wave energy and releasing these emotions. And it was just a really powerful experience.
The thing that comes to mind with that is that you had mentioned that one of the youths had said that they were wanting to take the opportunity to spend more time doing storytelling and connecting, and the kinds of things that across ages, and spending time with elders and sharing information. In our society at large, there's a section of that. You know, that we are so fractioned of one generation from another, of young people withholding to themselves rather than speaking up, or elders, older, not sharing. This is just, I can see this would just be incredibly healing at all levels.
Definitely. Yeah. And it wasn't only, you know, our kind of methodology is not only building connections between people, but also building connections with the land and animal relatives. So, you know, being at El Capitan, it really was just an ideal environment where we had a fire circle, we had the ocean and the waves, we visited some animals on the llama farm. There was a daily relationship with the land where we taught. The second day is or sorry, the third day is the theme is interdependence. So each of the 4 days has a theme. The third day is interdependence with the land and environment. So how is your identity? How are you one with nature? Mm-hmm. And so it's really connecting a part of you to nature in a very spiritual way, and understanding kind of the sacred reciprocal relationship with land and animal relatives, and restoring some traditional healing practices in nature, such as prayer, ceremony, and storytelling. So what was particularly powerful for the elders is to, you know, have a willing audience. You know, we hear from our elders, you know, who are very isolated.
Yeah.
That this was just so wonderful to have an audience for their teaching. You know, they just want to give.
Appreciated. Yeah.
Yes. They just have so much to give, and to be able to give a story to a circle in nature was so powerful for the youth. And in all of our post surveys, the youth were saying how incredibly healing that is to be visited by their animal relatives during the ceremony in the circles, and to have that relationship and learn about the importance of that relationship.
Yeah.
And some of the youth, you know, some of the youth said it was their first time at the beach.
Yeah.
You know, to just play. And so it was just so great to have that healing experience, and really kind of teach from this social, emotional, environmental perspective on strengths building, which is what it's all about.
Yeah. One of the things too that I want to kind of circle back to is with this focus with trauma informed and care, and the focus on all parts of the humanity, you know, the spiritual, the emotional, the, you know, the physical, what have you seen or the impact of people's preventative care of their health? Are you measuring that? Are you seeing that this is really changing or shifting the dynamic of their interplay with taking care of themselves or being a partner in their health?
Definitely. So an outcome of our community wellness department activities is really to provide a referral channel. We have an integrated care coordinator who coordinates care between both departments. And what I'm seeing in behavioral health is patients that are referred from community wellness that know what they're looking for. You know, they're able to advocate for their health needs within behavioral health and also medical. They're feeling more empowered, you know, maybe saying, I learned about this topic and I want to kind of explore more about my identity, or I'm learning more about my identity and I might be feeling some depression symptoms. I wonder how that connects. Really understanding, you know, what are the complex risk factors for mental health and also physical health?
Yeah.
So our medical department has been so amazing in terms of integrating and referring patients and understanding, you know, the unique risk factors for our Native patients on physical health symptoms. So overall, we're seeing more activation, self-empowerment, and also you know, feelings of worthiness. So one of the sayings in Gona that we instill is you are worthy, and we kind of fan yourself and you fan others. We have this during breaks and whenever something kind of heavy comes up, is saying you are worthy. And one of the main takeaways is folks feeling worthiness, that they are worthy of health and wellness. They are worthy of services. And they are also empowered, and they know where to go to. They have a trusting partner to help navigate this field of their health and wellness.
Yeah. And Ms. Jessica, we have just a few minutes and then I'm going to have to take us out, but I want to turn it back over to you to make sure that we've addressed the things that you want to address. We could go on for another hour because I'm sure you have a lot more to say. But is there anything that you want to make sure that we address before we wrap up for the hour?
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate that. It's bringing joy and warmth to my heart to be reminiscing on the impacts of GONA and the community that we've created there. So it's brought me a lot of joy to talk about that. And I really just want to encourage people to visit our website at AIHSCorp.org to learn about the different programs and services that we offer. We also have a very active Facebook page, so you can look up American Indian Health and Services on Facebook or find us on our website. And that's where we post a lot about all of these awesome programs and services that we offer. That's how you can stay up to date about what programs are offered. And also, if you're a resident of Santa Barbara or Ventura County or know a resident who identifies as American Indian Alaska Native and has youth that would be interested in participating in our annual GONA this year, it will be from July 13th through 16th. And we really would welcome new community members to join us. And also check out all of our other community wellness programs and the great clinical services that our organization offers. So really appreciate the opportunity to come together on this platform and humbly brag about, all of the impacts of the services that we offer. It's just a really wonderful opportunity. So
what you both have been delightful and you're doing some incredible work. Thank you very much for that. And thank you for bringing your voices here. I really appreciate it. I want to thank my guests, Ms. Jessica Foster, American Indian Health Services, Community Wellness Center Manager, and Dr. Johnny Williams, American Health or AIHS, a licensed clinical psychologist in Behavioral Health Department. Next week, you can join Fred Monroe when he hosts guest Michelle Call, Executive Director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, and Isla Moncrief, of San Luis Obispo intern at the Pride Center and Pride Committee Chair. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. It's all made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. And I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you so much for listening to us today.